This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Nick shot, I think, over 50% from three in the second half there. What's the balance for you guys of, you know, wanting to help versus staying home on those shooters? And, like, how much freedom do you give your players on that front?
Were they shooting from three in the second half?
I think over 50%.
So they made them?
Yes.
Man, what a novel idea.
But there's a lot of those where they're...
That's a novel concept, huh?
Right.
Just make them when you're open? Yeah.
Would you like to answer the question, though?
I just did. Make them. I mean,
I'm asking about your defense.
I think it's such a cool duality of your question to where I'm getting asked all the ones that we missed, and you come in and start with, they shot 50% in the second half. And I'm like, oh, man, what? The duality of that question is just really cool to, like, talk about. You know what I mean?
Sure. I don't
know, so, sorry.
Thanks.
Thanks. We start the press conference off by saying, you know, you took all these and you missed them. And then you say, you shot 50% in the second half from three. Yeah, you got to make them.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
You ready for game two, Keefe?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for game two.
Missoula's ready to choke out B-Rob.
Oh, good question by B-Rob, though. I'm glad that he asked that. Stood in there. Stood in the pocket for it.
Missoula didn't like it.
Although Missoula, it's classic. You know, we've been dealing with him now for a couple of years as the head coach. And when they're scuffling or when they have any kind of adversity, his answers are super annoying to me. But then when they're winning, I'm like, oh, he's hilarious. So, like, I'm part of the problem. Yeah. Like, I've acknowledged, like, some of his psycho stuff is pretty funny when they're winning. They're winning a championship. You know, they're never trailing in a series last year. They never lose two games in a series. And he's saying all this, like, wild stuff about blood and everything else. And you're like, all right, I like this guy. I can get behind this guy. But then when he's, like, scoffing at a question about threes and basically – boiling the entire game down to, they made their threes, we didn't make our threes, that's it. There's nothing else to see here. There's no questions about it at all. Like, that's annoying. Well, and, like, the duality of man.
Well, I was just going to say, it's the duality of Keefe. Sometimes you like Joe Mazzulla, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Reminds me of the great Slipknot song, Duality, which might be a good rejoin later, Nick. Mm. Not to tell you how to do your job. Did I do too much? I did too much. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think that's too metal for Jones.
Yeah, it might go too hard.
I might have to cover my little ears.
That's true.
Missoula just, oh boy, that's an interesting question. The Knicks made 53% of their threes. You got to make them, which, by the way, not for nothing. If I'm the players, I'm a little annoyed at that. It's like, oh, we got to make them. We just got to make them.
That.
That's all it is. We just got to make our shots.
So you can't ask
that him. Seems super easy, Joe. You were really good at that at West Virginia, right? Making shots.
Just
you were awesome
him.
At that.
Just
oh, we
him.
Just got to make. Oh, so simple, Joe.
Yeah.
We just got to make them. Like, that would piss me off if I were the Celtics.
Yeah, that's it. And so you can't ask me a question about our defensive philosophy and doubling off guys and, you know, switching off of shooters.
Yeah.
Got nothing to do with that. It's just about makes and misses.
Yeah.
Well, can't you impact that a little bit defensively?
One would think. I mean,
like, you would think so.
I used to get annoyed, Keith, back in the Doc Rivers days.
Brag
when we were around covering the team back in the Doc days. Uh-huh. He used to hit you with that a lot.
Get my larynx fixed.
Yeah, they lose a game. It's just, oh, it's a make miss league. It's like, oh, it's a make. What do you do if it's just a make miss league? What do you do?
Yeah,
and so
that's simple.
Thing with Missoula. It's like, oh, the Knicks made their threes, we didn't. Oh, okay, cool.
Hey, this is Doc Rivers, and you're listening to the Grab Bag.
Why?
I gotta get my larynx fixed.
Why are you there again? What exactly do you do if you're the it's as simple as that? The Knicks made them, and you missed them.
Just shoot those threes. Well, keep shooting them.
What do you do?
So basically, Joe just wants them to shoot out of it. And then, so that's what he wants them to do on offense. And then defensively, just fingers crossed they missed.
Yeah,
fingers crossed. They can't shoot this percentage, can they?
That's honestly
not that good.
That's how I play defense and pickup, Keith. I'm like, that guy's probably not making
it. You're going to miss?
Yeah,
come on, dude.
Yeah.
Stop making me look bad.
Yeah, seriously.
Making those shots.
Yeah. So, that to me was just.
But he's getting, a little prickly, but it's hard to say, it's too out of character because he's done this from time to time.
It's not out of character.
It's not. It's very much character.
I don't know if it helps, hurts, it's neutral. Yeah. It stood out yesterday.
No, but it is annoying. And it comes after a loss.
It's annoying to us. I'm telling you.
The players, too.
If I'm Tatum or I'm Jaylen Brown or Derek White or whomever, I'm like, I would be annoyed with that comment. Well, you just got to make them. Oh, okay. Let's just make them then, Joe. That's super simple. We'll just make them. You're right. I'll just make it next time.
Make a few buckets. You missed that shot. Why don't you make that shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that to me would be bothersome. Here's what I know. I don't think any of us fully respect the Knicks, even myself. I mean,
like them more than most, but
the Celtics in a walkover. I don't think any of us really respect the Knicks, and maybe we should, and maybe we will after tonight. Here's what I know about the Celtics. If you could take the opponent out of it for a second and just talk about the Celtics and how they're talking about this game and how they were asleep in game one and mostly played down to the competition in round one against Orlando, I would say, in a vacuum about this Celtics team, they're a team ripe for an upset. They're a team ripe for an upset, the way they're talking about it, the way they're carrying themselves, the way they played in round one, the start they got off to in game one against the Knicks. I would say that team is ripe for an upset. Now, you say it's the Celtics, you say it's the Knicks, you look at the matchup specifically, you look how the Celtics dominated it, you factor in that the Celtics won the championship a year ago. And I think it's crazier to say all those things, but just looking at it generically, this team, how they played, what happened in game one, the way they're carrying themselves, ripe for an upset.
Are the Knicks the best team they have played in the playoffs with this group, with the Holiday, Porzingis, Celtics?
Yeah, maybe.
So, and based on who they played too, right? So remove, the injuries from last year. So the teams that they faced along that way. So you had, Kyrie and Luka. Maybe better because you have two really high-end players. Maybe they're better, but I don't know by how much. But so part of it could be all right, maybe you're facing the most talented team because part of that, ripe for an upset thing is the Orlando Magic just didn't have it at all. They were tougher than I gave them credit for, but they didn't have the skill, they didn't have the talent, they didn't have the scoring. They weren't going to be able to do it. I still don't think the Knicks will. And maybe this is going to be one of those things that Celtics are on the brink of elimination. I'm like, I still don't see it. As they're losing the last 3-0. Game.
Yeah.
I don't think so, guys. I think they still have it. That's how I kind of view the Knicks. I think once you get any round further, and we can get into what's going on in the other series later, but as you get a little bit further, maybe you're right. Maybe this isn't a matter of, the Celtics have to play bad and the opponent has to play well. That's for four straight games. Because if the Celtics just play, if the Celtics play well, they're going to win. Who they're playing. If they play fine or okay or average,
they should
probably
going
to win.
Yeah.
So it's that combination of a bad night or in the case of game one, a really bad half combined with the other team playing a really good half. So I just still don't see it with the Knicks. But, if you allow them to hang around in these games, they do have a guy that can close that Orlando did not have. So you'd have to take that into account.
Yeah, we all look at it. Celtics are the defending champs. The Knicks are soft and finesse, and the Celtics dominated the regular season matchup. And you look at all that, and you go, well, Celtics might win this in five. I think a lot of fans still think the Celtics are going to win the next four.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics are going to roll tonight, destroy the Knicks tonight.
Cover the number?
I think the Knicks have no shot. Yeah, what was it yesterday?
10.5?
Yeah. I don't love laying that many points, but yes, you should lay that many points in this game tonight. But just take a step back and look at it generically. Celtics played down to an offensively inept team in round one. They lost game one. they're carrying themselves like their crap doesn't stink. Mm. Their coach is just like, hey, guys, let's mix in a few makes. After, by the way, he called out the superstar earlier in the postseason for not getting up off the floor.
Yeah, he's had a good stretch.
It would seem like a team that's ripe for an upset, but none of us want to go there with this team. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. There's a lot to get to here on Jones and Keefe. We have, hot off the presses, an emergency Kiefer madness we have to get to.
Yeah, this is a
at
real
12:45.
Yep.
Has a real chance to be a historic, remember where you were.
I think so.
Kiefer madness.
Could be an all-timer.
So that comes your play comes your way, rather, at 12:45. We have Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30. We'll go through some Would You Rathers. And at high noon, of course, Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin from WEEI.com. And again, all your feedback, 617-779-7937. On Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe, you can interact there. You can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And on YouTube, you can watch there, subscribe to WEEI. Now, Keefe, yesterday, we kind of mocked the idea. Perk called this a must-win for the Celtics. Must-win game two at home, two games into a series against the New York Knicks. We kind of mocked it.
Safe hot take.
It's a safe hot take.
We labeled it a safe hot take.
I think the Celtics, again, are going to roll.
Yeah.
I don't think they're in much jeopardy of losing, but we mocked the idea of it being a must win. Watching what happened last night in the NBA, in retrospect, was game two a must win for, the Cavaliers?
So,
like,
we even dubbed it yesterday because we actually, this came up on the show before that game happened, that, you know, the Thunder, Cavs, and Celtics, the three kind of favorites to maybe win the title, all lost their first game. So how many of them were facing a must win, or which team was most likely to get knocked off? The team that we said was most likely to get knocked off out of that group was the Cavs, mainly because the Celtics and the Thunder are better, right? More so than even the opponent.
Yeah, we said who needs to win game two, who has the most must win game
this
two
is also,
out of those teams.
This also comes down to the specifics of the game. It's easy to say, like, oh, you're down 0-2 or whatever. Like, how did you lose those games? And with the Cavs, they probably were just better off losing by 20 and then being like, all right, forget it. Let's move on and let's go play game three. We're down 0-2.
Or were they up 14 or 16? It was 7 with a minute 52 to go.
Yeah.
And they blow the game. Yeah, so when you factor all that in.
Yeah, you lose that way. Yeah. I think that is pretty demoralizing.
So I don't know. I mean, I thought game two as a must win, and I'm okay talking game wins before their elimination games. Like, I think they can be must wins before that point. I kind of brushed aside game two as a must win, but watching how the Cavs lost, I mean, the specifics of how they lost, I get it a little bit more. Do you think it's a must win for the Celtics tonight? I don't.
So I don't either.
I kind of get the tree Perk was barking up after watching last night.
I don't either. Now, if the game one formula plays out where you blow a 20-point second half lead and you either lose in overtime, or let's say Brunson hits the last shot, you lose that way, like, all right, that's a pretty brutal two ways to lose. But I just think anytime you say that, oh, this team is facing a must-win in game two, you don't think they can win 4 out of 5? Like, so Perk doesn't think the Celtics can win 4 out of 5 against the Knicks. If anybody picked the Celtics in 5, or if you were dumb and wrong like me and said Celtics in 4, you think they can win 4 straight like they did in the regular series.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, really, 0-3, even the game 3 shouldn't be a must-win if you feel the same way.
We highlighted this yesterday. They came back to force a game 7 down 3-0 against Miami 2 years ago. Now, they didn't win.
No, but they almost pulled off history there.
They showed they could do that from 0-3. They were down 3-2 that same year against Philly,
so that's
and they
why
came
I
back
think,
and won.
I think, you know, and it may, hey, listen, if people out there pick Celtics in 7 or even like you, like in 6, you have more of a leg to stand on to be like, well, no, this is a must win. I thought they would at least have one win at their first two home games. But anybody that picked them in 4 and 5, I mean, stick with it. Like, how could it possibly be a must win?
You have an over-under for threes tonight, the way Mazzulla's talking?
Yeah, so do you want to just set the number at 60 because that's what it was in game 1, or do you want to lower it?
Yeah, let's set it at 60. Over-under 60. Over.
Over.
I agree.
Because I do think they're going to make more of them, which is going to allow them to be like, guys, keep going.
I mean, Mazzulla is just, he's ready to
miss more.
He's ready to choke out B-Rob yesterday
over
it. And so they're going to lean in on shooting them over 60. And hopefully they make, listening to their coach, hopefully they just mix in a few makes in Keefe parlance. Mix in a couple of makes, guys, and you'll be fine. We win the game. We win it going away. The Knicks just happened to make them. We just happened to miss them. Independent of everything else going on, they just made some. We just missed some. It's as simple as that.
I think B-Rob just made Mazzulla's list with Washburn. So he has a list, I'm sure.
You think he got,
I bet he went. You know what he did last night?
Called into the office Cam Neely style? Maybe. You think he got one of those? Yeah.
If he hasn't done it already, I bet he went back, Missoula, after that press conference and read everything B-Rob has ever written. And now at the next
I forgot.
Remember
he did that to Washburn?
Like, I remember like 2017 he wrote this? You're like, what? he's gonna say something about when B-Rob, you know, criticized the Udoka hire or something like that. I don't think he did. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to deep in the archives and pull it out at the next press conference.
617-779-7937. Are the Seas ripe for an upset? Just the way they're acting. And I'd use Missoula as a jumping off point for that. The way they're talking about, yeah, we just missed some threes. That's all it was. Simple as that. You can jump in on the phones. We'll also pick up with Perk, his take yesterday. Is game two a must win for the Celtics tonight? Again, 617-779-7937. I also want to get into whether or not Tatum's actually going to bother showing up tonight. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Red Sox have now dropped three in a row after last night's 6-1 loss to the Texas Rangers at Fenway Park. Lucas Giolito got the loss after giving up 6 runs on 10 hits in 3 2/3 innings. The Sox lone run came off of a Christian Campbell RBI single, scoring Alex Bregman in the bottom of the 6th. Red Sox-Rangers series continues tonight. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Lenny Donato right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck gets a start for the Sox against the Rangers' Tyler Mahle. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arcand at 5:45. Tonight, the Boston Celtics look up to even their series with the New York Knicks at the TD Garden. Kristaps Porzingis is listed as probable with an illness, while Sam Hauser is doubtful with an ankle injury. Game 2 tips off at 7 o'clock. After Knicks-Celtics, it's Game 1 between the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. In NBA playoff action last night, the Pacers took a 2-0 series lead on the Cavaliers with Indiana's 120-119 win, and the Warriors went up 1-0 on the Timberwolves, beating Minnesota 99-88. In the NHL playoffs last night, the Hurricanes took Game 1 on the Capitals, defeating Washington 2-1, and the Oilers went up 1-0 on the Golden Knights with their 4-2 win. Tonight is Game 2 between the Panthers and Maple Leafs. Toronto leads that series 1-0, and it's Game 1 in the Stars-Jets series. According to multiple sources, the Dallas Cowboys have acquired wide receiver George Pickens and a 2027 sixth-round pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2026 third-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. And tonight, the New England Revolution will be in Pawtucket taking on Rhode Island FC in a round of 32 matchup in the U.S. Open Cup. Kickoff is at 7:30. Looking for the perfect gift for mom? 99 Restaurant gift cards are the perfect gift. For every $25 you purchase, you'll receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. You gotta love the nines. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
AUDACY. Type that in.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
What I don't want is my super talented athletic 6'8 wing with great handles settling for threes. But the Celtics three-point culture is demanding it. So it puts Jason Tatum, a collaborative nice guy, in a weird spot. His free throw numbers have gone down three straight years. Why? Because the Celtics want more threes, and if you shoot threes, you don't get to the free throw line. That's why it took Jimmy Butler for the Warriors to finally get to the three-point line. So Tatum can easily beat guys off the dribble all night long. But he keeps getting to the free throw line less and less because the Celtics are paralyzed. They have this culture where they're just paralyzed. We got to shoot 55 threes. And I think it puts Jason Tatum, a nice guy and a collaborative guy, in a weird spot.
Colin Cowherd on Jason Tatum yesterday. I know he's done a lot of ripping the Celtics and Tatum over the years.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear that answer.
He's a nice guy.
It's basically like he's so nice and so accommodating, he just goes along with the plan.
I mean, you're kind of letting him off the hook a little bit. What? You don't think Tatum likes taking a lot of threes?
You don't think Tatum settles? You think Tatum is just doing what they want? I mean, on some level, he is doing what they want. I get that. And he's going along with the philosophy, which is jacking up a million threes.
Right.
True.
Right.
But he's the one settling. He's the one taking step backs. He's the one choosing not to go to the rim. All just because, what, he's a people pleaser? That's what we're supposed to believe?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Me neither.
Because he's a guy that, of all the players on the team, if somebody just needed to score, just like, hey, we need a score, he's the most likely to do it. He's the best equipped to do it. He could score at every level. Like, he's one of the best players in the league. But, yeah, like, a lot of those guys, especially because they can hit him. Like, he hits enough threes where you're just like, all right, that is a good shot for me. I'll shoot from out here. And then, oh, the coach likes this philosophy. The rest of the team is doing the same thing. It allows me to sort of, you know, even rest a little bit on this possession because I am playing such big minutes. So I don't think it's his demeanor which allows him to be like, yeah, I'm good with this. I think it's easy to fall into that.
So, yeah, I think that's letting him way too much off the hook. It's like, ah, whatever. He just shoots threes because the Celtics shoot threes. He just goes along with it.
It's not like
I think there is some of that, like, follower, go along with it, people pleaser in his personality. I don't disagree with that. But I don't think that's the shot selection.
I would buy that more if there was a couple nights where you look up and you're like, oh, he had the third most shots on the team or the fourth most. Like, he has the most shots on the team just about every single night.
We said earlier the number 60 tonight for threes.
Yeah.
Terp looked it up. I think they've done that 5 times rather this year. But they've done it twice against the Knicks in 5 games. They did it game one of the playoffs. They did it game one of the regular season.
It is funny. It's the opposite of the Magic. The Magic won't let you take threes. You play them in the first round, and you really don't take threes. I remember there was a game that they took. They didn't make 1.5. Like, it was astonishing. You had to, like, double check. You're like, they only attempted 6. How many players on the team took 6 last game?
Oh,
4, 5?
Probably
6.
Everybody in
Maybe
the lineup,
everybody.
Yeah.
So,
how many players? That's a good question. How many players took 6?
The Knicks are kind of the opposite because
7!
It might have been.
Hang on.
Let's see. It was Tatum. It was Holiday. It was White. It was Brown.
So 4 of them.
And Horford and Pritchard each took 5.
Pritchard and Horford were 1 away. I mean, I guarantee, although he took none in the game, if Porzingis was getting his normal allotment of minutes, he probably would have jacked
Same with
up.
Hauser. Hauser played 4 minutes, took 2 threes. So those two guys, because of injury and the trots or whatever is going on with Porzingis, although probable.
I was just going to say that. He's apparently probable for tonight.
Yeah, I guess. Did you see? So Tom Cuddy, who is like a BZAM guy, I think, or was?
Yeah, he's a former rival of mine. I don't know that he knows that, but he's a former rival of mine. Yeah.
Same. So anybody knows when, like, it's not a press conference and it's more like a scrum. Like, you'll see those shots where it's like 300 microphones. Right. At least it feels like 300 microphones.
With a hand and a microphone and a
Holding
mic
it up
flag,
like,
jamming it in somebody's face.
It's doing that. You need to box out, get position. It's really obnoxious, but it was something that we a lot of us have had to do. And you're over there, whether it's a practice or if it's at the garden, whatever. This one guy had like a microphone tied to a giant stick. not like an outdoor wood stick, but like a metal stick.
What do you mean, a boom mic?
Yes.
I mean, basically, yes.
Yes, he brought a boom mic like he was working on a movie.
He'd be 10 feet behind everybody, and he would take his microphone and just
shimmy it through everybody. Yeah, you're like, it's hitting you in the neck, and you're like, get out of here with that.
If you're watching on Twitch, here's what he'd do to your microphone. Twitch.tv/BossWWE, he'd take your microphone and go.
Yeah. He'd bump it. Microphone right out of the way. You're like, I'm in here. I'm like, I need this mic flag.
I got position. Ref.
I need this mic flag to really pop on here.
Ref, I'm boxing out. I got position. Like, where? What are you doing? He's over the back. This is over the back.
Yeah.
So he probably doesn't realize he's a former rival. No. A former rival. What was his tweet?
So he tweeted, and the tweet is still up. He apparently covers the Celtics, I guess, now? Or at least he's all the team. I don't know what he does.
He's in there clunking microphones. I know
so
what he
does. So if you're looking for him, he's at Tom Cuddy Sports.
Yep.
Just to make sure you know that it's sports. He's not a weather guy. He's not a news guy.
No. You got to get in there.
He's a lot of sports.
There's a lot of Tom Cuddies on Twitter. You might get confused. He's the sports one.
He said, Celtics-Knicks game 2 tomorrow with Kristaps Porzingis listed as doubtful. Wrong. Which is wrong.
You sure about that?
With. No, he gives you the with.
Yeah.
Havana syndrome.
You sure about that?
At W that he has like the he tags.
You sure about that?
What is that? What even is that?
Is this just like a snarky joke? Is that what this was?
I don't think. Well, first of all, the doubtful's wrong. He's listed as probable. He tweeted it out. Nobody had any of it.
Yeah.
I even sent it to our group chat. I'm like, Terp, what is this?
I think I looked this up when you sent it.
Havana syndrome is like a thing that is not even recognized by like science.
Well, I remember it in the news. Wasn't it where people were like having ear problem, like
you lose your balance.
Yeah, like inner ear problems and stuff like that. I thought
Wikipedia
the Cuban
made it sound like a chemical weapon.
Oh, okay, I thought it was like when people thought the Cuban government was like screwing with people when they were in Cuba, like other like dignitaries. And
it says Havana
like
syndrome is characterized by a variety of symptoms, including dizziness, headaches, pain, and cognitive problems. It is not a disease recognized by the International Classification of Diseases Diagnostic Manual.
Nice.
So it may or may not be a real thing.
You can't deny science.
I think.
It's true.
I think he was going for a zinger.
Was he?
I think.
But you think he really tweet up? He's not even doubtful, though. The Celtics came out like an hour after the fact, and he's like, probable. So he's not even right about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, with
is it a hilarious joke? What's the joke?
Honestly, with Porzingis, I would rule nothing out. Havana syndrome's in play. I would rule nothing out with Porzingis.
But the injury report tonight.
He's one of the 462 people or whatever have it.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah.
Porzingis, on the official injury report by the Celtics, has a non-COVID illness.
Yeah, it's not COVID. We established this.
The non-rapid came back.
Yeah, they did a second test.
Confirmed.
Yeah,
probable.
Yeah, good.
Probable. Sam Hauser, meanwhile, is doubtful with a right ankle sprain.
So what's the joke?
What's the joke?
They're just swabbing Porzingis' nose. They're like, it is not. It is absolutely not COVID.
Just touching his brain with the swab. Oh, that was something else.
I'm assuming he was going for a zinger there. And it didn't. I don't think it landed.
Didn't it land?
But
you
got to
get the distinction
shoot.
Right.
Shooters got to shoot.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Shooters do shoot. You saying Tom Cuddy shooter?
I guess.
All right.
Let's mix in some phone calls here. Are the Celtics ripe for an upset? Is game 2 a must win? And is Tatum going to bother showing up tonight? That would be nice. That would help. Chris is in Nashville. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
I don't think we're giving the Knicks enough credit here, and I'm going to tell you why. I mean, people keep talking about the four games during the regular season that we beat the you-know-what out of them. But if you throw out that first game where we shot astronomical, the next two games, the Knicks didn't have their full complement of their roster. Mitchell Robinson, I believe, was a midseason acquisition, and granted, you're going to go hack-a-shack on the guy. He's still a defensive presence in the middle. They're clogging up the middle. Tatum's having a hard time driving to the hoop. They're minimizing our bench.
Keith, this is a real thing in New York, by the way.
Mitchell Robinson. So real quick,
there's a real thing going into game one. Then
the Knicks were undermanned in the regular season.
Well,
Brunson played every game.
No,
Towns
no.
played every game. Hart played every game. Bridges played every game. OG Anunoby missed one.
I disagree with it. I'm just telling you, in New York, that's like are the defense is different when Mitchell Robinson's out there. You saw it in the game. He only played one regular season. It's the one regular season game
Come
against
on,
the Celtics
guys.
That went to overtime.
Come on, guys.
I reject it.
Mitchell Robinson?
I'm just telling you, that's a real narrative. And
all right,
then,
well, I reject it.
Saw him in game one, and he really shouldn't even be on the floor.
I think the Celtics were more injured, actually, in their games against the
I believe it. They
Knicks.
Only had Porzingis for half of them. So, no, I don't think the Knicks were undermanned. I heard Hart saying this yesterday. He's not wrong. The games have all kind of they've gotten more competitive as we've gone along. Like, it was a blowout in game one. There were some other blowouts mixed in. Third game was closer. Fourth game was an overtime loss. Fifth game's an overtime win for the Knicks.
So the in regular, okay, it was three blowouts and an overtime win for the Celtics. So, but in the regular season, I think you can look at those. So Mitchell Robinson, like, please, he's like the seventh guy on a team that's five deep. They missed OG Anunoby for one game. The Celtics, meanwhile, you said no Porzingis for two of the games, no Drew Holiday for one of them, and no Al Horford for one of them.
Yeah.
And Jalen for a half.
Also fair.
The last one he played 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. The one close game, right?
He should have played none. He was trying to get to 65 games.
Oh, it's not close. Oh, when are we getting the All-NBAs? We haven't gotten those yet.
Good question.
I mean, he's not eligible. That's the only reason he's not making it.
Should be soon.
Yep.
Bob's in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You're probably somewhat right. Are they in a situation to have things go wrong? Maybe. But I'll say this. For being the defending champs, not just because of the other night, they just don't seem to have that strongness about them. And I think if and when they get to another round with a tougher opponent, I think that's when you may see some of the stuff you're talking about. That reality may just settle in, and maybe they're just not going to go that deep this year.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a real negative take on it.
I would just say, outside of the second half of Game 5 against Orlando, I don't really know when they've looked like their dominating selves. All postseason. I don't know when they've looked that way. And so, I mean, Game 1 and Game 2 against Orlando were relatively easy home wins. But if you remember, they were losing at halftime at Game 1. Game 4, it was a tie game with 4 minutes to go. And we said this going into Game 5. I'm like, I've been kind of underwhelmed with the Celtics. They're up 3-1. I've been kind of underwhelmed. Then they went out and didn't score from 3. In the first half of that game, were they down at halftime in Game 5? I can't remember.
And I think it was close. It was a similar formula to some of their other games.
They
blew
doors in the second half because they made a bazillion threes. Now they've lost Game 1 to the Knicks. I don't think there's been long stretches so far this postseason where they look like themselves. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
Will it continue? Will it matter? We can debate all that, but I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, they haven't looked like themselves for long stretches.
The last team to win back-to-back titles was the Golden State Warriors, right? 17-18. And they cruised pretty easily, five-game series each in the first two rounds. And then they were down 3-2 in the conference finals to the Rockets. Remember, they were down 3-2 to Harden.
Yep.
And then Harden's like, oh, these games really matter. Crap. And he really kind of fell apart. But, I mean, that was a team, the last team to do it. And they did face adversity, and they were able to overcome that and then move on. And, they swept the Cavs in the but they were much better than the Cavs. But, I mean, they faced elimination in a couple of games.
617-779-7937. Can I just brush something aside real quick?
Please do.
Text line says, so the guy who had 16 rebounds and 6 assists didn't show up. How many rebounds did Karl Anthony Towns have last
Probably
year?
A pile.
I think it was 13.
Yeah.
So a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, two piles.
Is anybody going nuts for Karl Anthony Towns with his double-double, or are we all like, he blew in that game? Okay, so let's not overrate it because Tatum grabbed some rebounds. Tatum had a horrible game one. You can brush it aside and say he grabbed some boards. He was asleep on defense. He had a bunch of turnovers. He couldn't shoot. That's not showing up. I don't know how else to tell you that.
Well, it's funny because he did show. It wasn't like a full bad game because he showed up in the first quarter, he was really good. So you're like, oh, he's locked in. Like, they're going to get a really scary Tatum. Like, the Knicks are in trouble. And the South, then, like, he and the rest of the team just kind of, like,
disappeared.
Went away?
Disappeared. So, again, if rebounds matter, Towns grabbed 13 of them. He must have had a really good game one, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. Let's get to the Cavs falling apart last night.
Oh,
what does it mean for the Celtics in the East? And now Steph Curry's hurt. What does that mean for the Celtics and their big title aspirations? We'll get to all of it next.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Misses Halliburton, the rebound. 9 seconds. They do have a timeout. Carlisle's going to let him play. Halliburton steps back and hits. Tyrese Halliburton trying to take Cleveland's heart.
A shocking way to lose a basketball game last night.
Wow. Wowzers.
If you were not watching, I forget what the Cavs were up, 14-16, whatever it was, very comfortably in the lead. Pacers started to chip away. It's 7 points with under a minute left, 52 seconds left in the game. Halliburton's at the free throw line. The Pacers are down 4. with about 12 seconds left, hits the first free throw, misses the second, gets his own rebound, steps out, and hits just a ballsy three.
It sure was.
He made sure to let you know.
I love it.
It took some balls to take that shot.
And then his dad punched out Donovan Mitchell. So.
Again, you pointed this out, Keith. His dad is not allowed at Pacers home games, but
Cleveland.
Maybe you're allowed.
Get a ticket.
Cleveland.
Go to Cleveland.
I don't know. Buy your own way
you
in.
You could.
So they wind up effectively walking it off. A second left. Cleveland had a shot at the buzzer that didn't go in. And they're up 2-0 on the Cavs, which I would characterize as, I think, good news for an easier path out of the East for the Celtics, although maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I'm underestimating the Pacers.
Yeah.
They were scrappy with the Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals without Tyrese Halliburton for most of that series.
Right.
You can see the difference he makes. Why we said last year, boy, it'd be nice if the Pacers had their best players, wouldn't it? Because they can make plays like that at the end of games. But will the Pacers actually be easier for the Celtics? Is this good for the Celtics that Cleveland's down 0-2? And I think on their way of getting knocked out.
Well, the Pacers are an easier matchup for the Celtics than a full-strength Cavs. This version of the Cavs, no. I mean, I think the Celtics would probably roll on them. Donovan Mitchell literally doing all he can. He had almost 50 points in the game, still had 9 assists, getting to the free throw line nonstop, trying to carry. He's in a starting lineup. This is a number one seed, 64-win team. They have Dean Wade, Ty Jerome, and Max Strus. In the starting lineup, Strus actually played well, but like he had Dean Wade, who I know had that one crazy good game against the Celtics a couple years ago, Ty Jerome in the starting lineup. Ty Jerome would have fit in with the Celtics well the other night. Ty Jerome from the floor, 1 of 14.
That'll do it.
Keep shooting, bud.
Yeah.
Keep shooting.
So
Darius Garland, all-star, out. Evan Mobley, all-star, out. DeAndre Hunter, who they acquired at the deadline, who's been a good player for them, out.
Big deadline move, yeah.
So that is tough. But they still should have won the game.
Well, thank you.
They still should have won the game.
I get what you're saying. Handicapping it against the Celtics, like if all those guys are out, good luck. But last night,
they still should. It should be a 1-1 series, and then figure out the health of those guys.
You're up three possessions with less than a minute to go.
No doubt. They definitely should have won the game, even with their.
You're up four with 12 seconds to go, and Halliburton missed a free throw. Get the rebound.
The Pacers are an interesting team, though, because the Cavs are very much Donovan Mitchell, just like the Knicks are very much Jalen Brunson. And not that 2 through 5 aren't good players, but it's like one stud, one scoring stud. The Pacers, it's kind of everybody, because Halliburton isn't like a traditional big scorer.
They're very balanced.
They're very balanced. I think every guy in the starting lineup and one guy off the bench were in double figures. So it's like it's hard to take one guy away. I think they are. They're a tough team. They're like a tough opponent. They're not a championship team by any stretch. But like when you go back and look through the history of the NBA playoffs, there's always like a couple of teams that never really get to the finals, but they're just like a hard matchup. And I feel like that's what they are
now. They're a scrappy little team. I think the Celtics would beat them fairly easily. You know, the Cavs at full strength.
It's a good series. I think the Celtics win that.
I think they win that as well. Here's what I would say. If you subscribe to the Celtics were better off for getting tested and pushed by Orlando, which I do. Did not play out that way in game one against New York, but let's see.
True.
If you subscribe to that theory, I think you should want the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Final to continue to push the Celtics and test the Celtics and give them their best shot going into the NBA Finals. And I'm not telling you, I mean, look, if the Cavs are down 2 All-Stars, maybe I'll start to feel like I did a year ago.
Right.
When you were playing teams without their best player. But I think you want to be pushed a little bit going into the NBA Finals because I don't think that's going to be a walkover this year. If you just want the easiest path to the NBA Finals, you should want the Pacers.
Or an injured Cavs. I don't know if these guys are out the whole time. I'm saying if it's that lineup, I think the Pacers would actually present you
but
a tougher
matchup. But don't you think all those guys were game time decisions. I imagine they're back for a conference final.
I imagine they're
back for game three.
I mean, you're already down one game, and you all sit out. It's the second round of the playoffs, but I mean, I guess we'll see.
So, I mean, Perk called it a must-win for the Celtics going into tonight. I didn't really agree with it, and then I see the Cavs lose, and you highlighted this earlier, Keith, how they lost.
That's
maybe is the bigger factor, but was that a must-win last night for the Cavs? In retrospect, it might be. I don't feel good about their chances winning 4 out of the next 5 against Indy based on how that's gone down. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Warriors win last night. Steph Curry leaves, though, with a hamstring issue, which those tend to linger. Didn't return to the game. I'd keep an eye on that big picture as well. Like, I think those Cavs players will all be back for an Eastern Conference final. I imagine if the Warriors get to a final, Curry would be back for that, but I don't know. They lost last night, meaning Minnesota lost last night when Curry was out for a big chunk of that game.
Crazy. Anthony Edwards was terrible.
But if Curry's going to be out for a string of games, then I think the Warriors could get bounced early, and that would be a good thing for the Celtics if the Warriors get knocked out by Minnesota.
Yeah, you don't want to see the Warriors just because they would have won all these series and just built up confidence, and then Curry and Butler on the other side. Throw in Steve Kerr. You're like, no, I don't want to see those guys.
Although Steve Kerr's got a bit of a string of like pissing off superstar players. See what's going on with him and I know Edwards didn't play well last night, but Kerr and the Warriors told him they wouldn't take him with the number one overall pick in that draft. Wow. They didn't have the number one
overall
pick.
They took James Wiseman, didn't they?
Yeah, they took Wiseman, but Edwards went before that.
No, I know, but yes. So he's saying they would have taken Wiseman over Edwards.
I thought that's the story that's come out. I don't know. So Kerr's benching Tatum in the Olympics. He's pissing off Anthony Edwards.
Edwards played in the Olympics, though. He played a decent amount, right? Like it's not,
oh, yeah, he was on, he that, was on the team. That team this year, yeah.
Well, he was the best player on the floor, if you listen to him.
Yeah. Oh, Edwards was.
Yeah. Yeah. He certainly believes
that.
That
was like, was it the year before that? He had a great line. I forget who told him. They were like, hey, you know, we need you to come off the bench or whatever. Like Dwayne Wade came off the bench, and he's like, yeah, he sat behind like Kobe and LeBron. He's like, we don't have Kobe and LeBron. No. He's like, put me out there. I should start. But, yeah, no, that's a bad sign. Also, sort of the theme of the second round, all the favorites lost game ones at home.
Yeah.
So that continued even without Curry last night. It was a rough game. Edwards got going a little bit in the second half, but that was 99-88
so
in
look,
today's NBA.
Look,
that was bad.
Curry, they won without him last night, the Warriors, in game one. If Curry's out for a chunk, their chances, and that is good news for the Celtics. I could see the Cavs getting knocked out longer term is not a great thing for the Cs. You want to be battle-tested. You want to go through a team like the Cavs if they're at full strength. I think Indiana would be an easier path to get to the finals. Would you be better off in the finals for that path? We can debate it at 617-779-7937. It is a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll get you some Would You Rathers at 11:30. George Pickens traded. Should the Patriots have been in on Pickens, who is now a Dallas Cowboy or soon to be a Dallas Cowboy? We also have Pure Hoops with Terp coming your way at high noon. But on the way next, let's get into the Red Sox. Something off with that team, and that would include their decision at first base. We'll do it next.